Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show. Alex's arm here tonight. Carlos Ortiz. He's at Citi Field. The Cubs are in town. The Cubs are in New York City. Carlos is a Cubs fan. Carlos is watching the Cubs. You took off to watch the Cubs. The Cubs are losing 7-2. In the ninth inning. My Brewers lost to the Rays, so I can't laugh too much there. And that concludes our baseball conversation for the night. We'll see. We'll see. I mean, the biggest story in baseball right now, this was the biggest story in sports yesterday, and the biggest story in baseball is that there's a new Pope and he's a White Sox fan. After we thought he was a Cubs fan. It was reported on ABC that he was a Cubs fan. Turns out he's a White Sox fan. And there's proof. You may have seen a picture circulating late last night where he was at, now Pope Leo the 14th, or Bob, as he's been known most of his life. He was at the World Series in 2005. White Sox taking on, at that time, it would have been the Astros. So he was at that World Series, and we saw a picture. He was apparently on the broadcast that Fox aired that series in one of the games. He was at the broadcast, and so they figured out what game he was at based on the picture, and then they found out that he was there, so they went and looked at the old Fox broadcast, and I don't know how somebody did this or got to it. I mean, obviously, okay, I know how they watched it. But in game one, they watch this game and they're watching it all the way through. You do see him, not until there's two outs left in the ninth. So with two outs left in the ninth, they show the crowd, and there he is. The guy who 20 years later would be the eventual Pope. So it was weird. That game, I believe Barack Obama was at that game. The Pope was at that game. And Dan Castellaneta was at that game. Who's that? That's Homer Simpson. That's the guy who voices Homer Simpson. So if you would have told a young Barack Obama then that you'll be president in a few years, you know, maybe the ground was running. If you would have told that Bob guy he'd be Pope in 20 years, he'd say, what? And if you were to tell Dan Castellaneta that he'd still be Homer Simpson 20 years later, that might be the biggest shock of them all. That might be the biggest shock of any of that. So interesting stuff as people have been digging up and just trying to, like, anybody in Chicagoland, certainly. Hey, he was here, and there's all these different connections, so that's been interesting to follow, especially the sports angle of it. And it makes it more interesting that everyone was convinced he was a Cubs fan first, and now we see that he's a White Sox fan. I enjoy that little rug pull on Cubs fans. No apologies from me. 888-710-4ISN. Is our phone number, 888-710-4476. We've got two NBA playoff games tonight. This is what we're doing. We're watching games, and we are reacting to games. May's a pretty fun month. May's a pretty fun month. You got a lot of playoffs. You got the NBA, and you got the NHL. You got to get that remote handy, the clicker, go back and forth. And tonight's another good one in the NHL where we're seeing another overtime. We're going to get an overtime between the Panthers and the Maple Leafs. So that's going on. That'll start in a little bit here there at the end of the third. Winnipeg's already up 2-0 on Dallas. And there's only been 7 minutes in that game. So Winnipeg losing the other night, 3-2. And now they're taking it right back to the Stars to start things. So we got our eye on that, and we got our eye on the NBA. And in the NBA, it's been a really fascinating start to this second round. The NBA has been wild. The second round and the first round. You know, the second round, certainly. But there's been a lot of buzzer beaters. We saw a buzzer beater dunk for the first time. We saw a lot of different heroics from the Pacers in different rounds. Through the first 19 days of the 2025 NBA playoffs, there were five comebacks of 20 or more points. A deficit of 20 or more points was overcome five different times. That's the most there's been ever, at least since they started the play-by-play. We, you know, when you talk about, like, NFL, you talk about the modern era, and the modern era being the merger or post-merger of the Super Bowls. With the NBA, a lot of these stats go back to 1997, 98, because that was the first that they didn't go play-by-play. You know how you can go on a box score right now and see, oh, inbound, out of bounds by this guy rebound. They didn't keep track like that until 1998. So that's what we can keep track of when we know there was a 20-point. Some of these games, unless you rewatch it, or were there and remember, or there's a newspaper article that kept track, we don't know what the score was at the middle point of the second quarter in any random game in 1996. They didn't start doing that until the 97-98 season. So we've had five comebacks in the whole playoffs, first 19 days. In the whole playoffs, we've had five 20-plus comebacks. We've had five game-winning shots in the final 10 seconds. We've had 24 road team victories, including a 4-0 sweep in game one of round two. And the road teams won the first six games in round two. And there's been 16 games decided by 3 points or less. So that was through the first 19 games. And you see that and you're thinking, oh, wow, these playoffs are going to be incredible. Then on Wednesday night, we get the same game we got in game one. We got it in game two between the Knicks and the Celtics, where the Knicks came back again from a 20-point deficit. So make it six. And they got a win, 91-90. Since then, it has not been as exciting. A lot of those stats don't really change since then. The Thunder took on the Nuggets, got retribution for their game one loss. They won 149-106. Last night, without Steph Curry, the Warriors lose by 24 points. Minnesota wins 117-93. Tonight, the Cavs are currently up 112-96 against the Pacers. Cavs got everybody healthy and needed. Everybody's back. Darius Garland's back. That's important for them. He's got 10 points tonight. Kind of a rough night shooting, 3 of 11, but he's back. DeAndre Hunter's back. Evan Mobley's back. That's very important, too, especially down low. So we haven't seen the kind of game that these playoffs have been becoming known for really the last few days. Now, the Pacers just cut it to within 11 a little bit ago, and they were down a bunch in the first quarter, and they were able to crawl back then. But it does appear like Cleveland should be able to guide this out. They're up 16, no lead safe, 6 minutes to go. But if Cleveland blows this one, curtains are going to be over on this series. I really hope that Cleveland wins, not just to extend the series and not just because of my ongoing gripes with the Indiana Pacers, but then the Indiana Pacers will probably go back to their normal jerseys and court. I'm all for alternate jerseys. I'm all for throwback jerseys. In the playoffs, I think you should be wearing your normal jerseys and playing on your normal court. But they keep winning at home, so they keep going back to this court and these jerseys, which are like spray painty and italicized letters. And I just want to see the Pacers wearing the Pacers jerseys. That's all. I don't think it's too much to ask here, but also a very first world problem, I know. The game after this, which is not going to tip off now until 25 after the hour, that's going to be between the Thunder and the Nuggets. Nuggets at home, you'll never guess this, the Joker showed up dressed like the Joker, not with the face paint, but Nikola Jokic with the purple suit. That will tip off in about 15 minutes from right now. I don't know what kind of game that's going to be. I would expect the Thunder to still win that game, even though they're back in Denver. I think it's very possible that the Thunder got right and maybe gentlemen sweep the Nuggets. Yeah, I do think that is in play. But we'll find out tonight if the Nuggets, with home court advantage and that altitude, don't forget about that altitude. They won't let you forget about that altitude. We'll see what they can do tonight, that game tipping off in a little bit. Other than that, there still could be some sweeps. We could still get, well, this Indiana-Cleveland, likely not. But you could still see the Knicks sweep the Celtics. You could. Probably won't, but you could. And then there could still be some gentlemen sweeps. And that would be series that end in five games. Now, could be the Thunder and the Nuggets, as I mentioned. It also now may be the Timberwolves and the Warriors. So the Warriors went to Minnesota after being in Houston on Sunday night. 2 days later, they got to play again. There's some fatigue. That's a very quick turnaround to go from one series to the next. But the Warriors had to do that, and they've been, you know, they've been playing. They were in that first game of the play-in. Then they're the seventh seed. They go seven games in that series. They got to play right away. Eventually, something is going to catch up with them, something being an injury, that injury happening to Steph Curry, who injured his hamstring for maybe the first time in his life. It sounds like he's talking the other day, not sure how to manage it. Crazy to play basketball for that long and really have your first issue with a hamstring. But Steph Curry is going to miss game three. He's going to miss game four. The initial word from the Warriors was that he was going to be reevaluated in a week. A week would be this coming Wednesday of next week. But if they're going to just reevaluate him, then there's a game that night. There's no way he's going to be ready. Reports now that he probably would not be likely available until a game six. So the Warriors just got to get to a game six. That's their big hurdle right now. And we don't know. That doesn't assume that he will be back. And then they would have some rest because game five is they're going every other day. Then they would rest on or they would play on Wednesday. So as their schedule's set, it's every other day. They're playing on Wednesday the 14th in a game five. And then, if necessary, game six wouldn't be until Sunday. So they would have 3 days off. You're going every other day, and then you finally get 3 days off. So an interesting quirk there, and they could definitely use the rest, not just to maybe get Steph back, but for everybody that's been grueling through this process. I know, well, you got to work every other day, but it adds up. Playing basketball at a competitive level, at a playoff level, that does add up. So that's got to be their mission. We talked about how we thought some of the series would go late last night. This one seems like the Timberwolves are going to win. It seems like they could now win in five without Steph Curry. Warriors are still throwing things against the wall. I think the Warriors do pick up another one and get it to a game six. Then maybe Steph comes back and they win a game six. That would be in Golden State. But then they might run out of steam in a game seven. So they got to get it to game six. They've won a game. So that's huge that they were able to close that out the other night. But they were able to win a game. And now they just got to get to a game six. It's not best case scenario, but 3-2. Even if you're losing 3-2, you still have a chance to win the series and get Steph back. You'll be behind. The Timberwolves will have a head start, but they're going to need Steph Curry. They're not going to win the series without Steph Curry. I think we kind of saw that last night. A game that the Warriors did have a effort in the third quarter, ultimately was not enough. Draymond Green, after the game, and Draymond Green's been a guy who's needed to step up a little bit, and I think he has. You know, they need him to score a little more. Last night, just with 9 points, 1 of 6 from 3, but the games prior to that, he had 18, he had 16. Draymond will usually get you 8 points a night, and then he'll show up in the box score other ways, and then he'll do a bunch of stuff that doesn't show up in the box score. One thing that does show up in the box score, though, are the technicals. The technicals, the fouls in general, and just an aggressive style of play. Draymond Green last night was, unfortunately, being called things that you shouldn't say in public and or private. And he gave a short soundbite last night, and he talked about his reputation.
You look like the angry black man. I'm not an angry black man. I'm a very successful, educated black man with a great family. And I'm great at basketball. I'm great at what I do. The agenda to try to keep making me look like an angry black man is crazy. I'm sick of it. It's ridiculous.
So the Timberwolves are looking into the incident. A fan was yelling some things he shouldn't be yelling at Draymond Green or any other human. So that's let's put that to the side for now. I'm not trying to say let's put that to the side, but let's also look at the bigger thing with Draymond Green. Is that even without taunts and chants and slurs being thrown his way, people are still going to be yelling a lot of other things at Draymond Green because he is an emotional guy. Because he is a guy that, you know, I've tried to defend him a little bit over the years, but it does add up. And it's added up to the point where when something happens and it blurs the line of is that flagrant or is that not, with Draymond, you almost got to assume that it is. And it may be unfair in the given moment of a given play, but based on the track record, Draymond might get officiated a little more tightly. I thought it was a great example of when the NBA was reviewing a play and one of the officials, they usually say on 23 or on green, they just call him Draymond. He's on a first name basis with these guys. So one thing that they'll need to do, and maybe this incident will motivate Draymond a little more, I don't know, but it's good to play with emotions. Steve Kerr, though, says we got to kind of keep him in check.
I could see, he had gotten pretty upset, and I just didn't want him to get another technical. So I took him out at that point, and I know he's going to have to be careful now. He's, is he two techs away?
Five techs and two flagrants, and so it's seven and four.
So two more techs, he'll be suspended.
Or two more flagrants, right?
Yeah. So he's going to have to stay composed. Obviously, we need him. I'm confident that he will because he knows the circumstances.
I mean, he's got to keep it in check. Flagrants are one thing. Techs he seems to pick up, and he's got, he's got a shorter leash from some of these officials. Draymond, based on his track record and history, there may be officials that if Draymond looks at them a certain way, they'll say, no, I got to tee you up. Now, do they know that he's close to a suspension and then maybe give him a little more leeway? I don't know. I can't get into the minds of some of these guys or if they even try to think about that or want to know the circumstances. But Draymond's they're already without Steph. They do need Draymond. They do need Draymond. Draymond, there's a version of this Warriors team without Steph that I think can win. I don't know if they're going to be able to find it in time, though. Last night, Steve Kerr tried a lot of different things. He played a lot of different guys. I think it was 13 different guys, 14 different guys. Yeah, 14 different guys got in this game. And it wasn't like, hey, we're going to put some guys in at the end. Oh, 14 guys played. No, it was Quentin Post started, played 3 minutes. Kevon Looney, I think, came in the first, and then we didn't see him again. You're giving run to Kevin Knox and Braxton Key and Darius Jones, and I made that last name up. But that's where they're at. Pat Spencer out there lugging around with number 61. Trace Jackson Davis may get some more run. Jonathan Kuminga may get some more run. Steve Kerr's talking about those guys and how they have to try to find a new formula without Steph Curry.
The domino effect of Steph being out led to Trace playing tonight because we need the scoring. We need the finishing. And you saw what he did out there. Same thing with J.K. We had found a formula over the last couple of months, and obviously we're having a lot of success. But without Steph, the formula completely goes out the window, and we've got to figure out the next formula.
Been talking about the Golden State Warriors here just for about 5-6 minutes or so, but that's a pretty long duration of time to talk about the Warriors without mentioning Jimmy Butler. Guys, they traded for Jimmy Butler. So they're going to need Jimmy Butler to become not 6 of 13, just 17 points. That's nice if Steph's out there, but we need to see playoff Jimmy Butler on people that want to see playoff Jimmy.
If that time comes where, you know, you're people that are saying whatever, supposed to score 40 or 43, whatever the case may be, I'm capable of it. I can do it. But I love making sure that my guys are comfortable, passing the ball to them, taking the right shots.
If that time comes, that time is here. The time came the minute that Steph went down. They need you. We've seen the teams that you help carry to the finals. They'll see teams, okay, Tyler Hero, and Bam, but a lot of that was you, Jimmy. We need to see that again if Golden State is going to make a run. Yeah, Minnesota's a part of this too. Minnesota's a part of this equation. I'm very self-aware of when it's a two-team series and a lot of the focus goes on to one team. But this is an opportunity for Anthony Edwards to knock out another legend as he's been doing the last couple of years. And really after this, you know, where do the Golden State Warriors go from here? Do they retool? Do they come back? You got Jimmy Butler. You gave him an extension. You're locking him in. So where do they go from here? Do they just, at this point, you just kind of play out the string with these guys. Steph's under contract for another couple of years. Draymond next year, and then a player option. Jimmy is going to be around for a while, so it doesn't seem like it's the end of the era, but those guys are all in their mid-30s. And it does seem like the youth movement is on the side of Minnesota. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Speaking of Jimmy Butler, his old boss, Pat Riley, had some things to say. Doesn't regret how that played out, but does acknowledge that there's going to be some changes that are needed in Miami. We'll hear from a very defiant Pat Riley. When we return, we'll have the final of this Cavs and Pacers game to talk about and much more to get into along with you. This is the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. That is the phone number, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. You can reach me at Bart Winkler or Bart Winkler Show. Twitter, Blue Sky, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, TikTok, Snapchat. What else am I on? I use a fake name for Reddit. I'm still trying to figure out how to use Discord. I do have Signal that I can't log into. You can find me on those. Threads is on my phone. That app is so bad. It's just a bad app. It's just a bad app. I don't know what to tell you. It's a bad app. Facebook, Meta. Tried to make a Twitter. It's a bad app. It's a weird app, too. People are like extra weird on there. It's like, it's just weird. Every time I go on there, it's like witches are caballing. What the hell's happening here? I didn't do anything for the algorithm to give me. I'm not like calling a certain. These are people that say, "What's up, my witches?" And then put potion emojis and then talk about how the stars of the night are going to change world events. Yeah, you know, I can't get into that. The Miami Heat, they need to see some changes. One team is still in the playoffs with Jimmy Butler. That is the Golden State Warriors. The Miami Heat traded Jimmy Butler after he wasn't going to play for them, and then he like came back for a night, and then he disappeared again. This is a team that got bounced in the play-in tournament. They've made the finals a couple of times. Never were able to win. Didn't really put up great showings when they got there, but they were able to go through the Eastern Conference a few times because of Jimmy Butler. And Pat Riley talked today, addressing really the situation with Jimmy Butler for like the first time since the trade happened. And he talked about how, yeah, there was an impact when this team could no longer have Jimmy Butler on it.
There's no doubt that what happened with Jimmy had a tremendous impact on our team. There's no doubt about it. So the buck stops with me. I'll take that hit if you want it. What happened during the regular season, I don't want to really discuss.
And not just the trade had an impact. It was a whole saga. And a lot of these Jimmy Butler stops are pretty similar. He goes somewhere, there's good times, there's a lot of good times, and then when the good times end, they end. The good times end, and it ends pretty ferociously. He had played a bunch in December, missed some games over the Christmas holiday, played a couple more games, then was out, then was back a few games in middle of January, and then eventually got traded in February. And had a nice start and is continuing to play well for the Golden State Warriors. And if they're going to continue to advance, they're going to need him to play like he did with the Heat in some of those finals runs. And the relationship between Jimmy and Pat Riley was souring. Butler was hurt, so couldn't play in their first round loss to Boston last year. And he made a remark at a Formula One race in Miami that if he was able to play, he thought the Heat could have beaten the Celtics or the Knicks. And Pat Riley didn't like that comment. I don't know. I mean, maybe that feels a little like overly sensitive. I don't think Jimmy's burying the team as much as he's, or it doesn't need to mean anything. But it meant a lot to Riley. They did not offer him a 2-year, $113 million extension. He kept getting suspended. He said he lost his joy playing Miami, and the team then had to trade him. But again, it was a process that took up a lot of time, that was clearly a distraction to the team. When the team traded him, you know, Andrew Wiggins has done nice things in his career, but the team got worse. But Pat Riley, very defiant, that he says he stands by his decision of not offering the extension.
You know, it wasn't the same. He got hurt against Philadelphia. We didn't have him. And when we got 4 out of 5 against Boston, but and then there was this year. So, no, I'm not going to apologize for saying no on a contract extension when we didn't have to, and I don't think I should. And I will always say that to the players, if I was coaching, you know, keep your mouth shut. I'll see you next training camp, and you get it back, you know, on the court. But it's different today with players.
I just turned 80. I'm proud of it. 80 is the new 60, he said. And, you know, he sounds fine. He looks fine. You know, Pat Riley's 80, no way. But maybe he's still thinking of a different kind of era than the era that we're in. Maybe there's a bigger disconnect. I don't know. It doesn't seem like it needed to end that way. And you can't say that it necessarily was Pat Riley's fault, because that's how things always end with Jimmy. They start pretty good, though, so you got to enjoy that time. Golden State is. But does anyone think that that's going to end well? And it could be years from now. It could be 3 years from now. But it doesn't, this just doesn't end well. It doesn't end well wherever he goes. Jimmy, but some of these guys go back. Like Russell Westbrook with the Clippers played in Denver. And then in LA. No, in Oklahoma City this was. This was this series. I'm confusing all the different teams where he's played. But in Oklahoma City, they gave him an ovation. You know, Russell, he's former MVP. He's kind of a wild card. He knows the good comes with the bad, comes with the good. But if Jimmy Butler comes back to a place, there's not a lot of standing ovations for Jimmy Butler. There's a desire to then beat Jimmy Butler with his new squad. Riley says, I do think we have to make changes. There's no doubt there has to be some change. Could explore some trades. They've got Bam Adebayo under contract. They've got Tyler Hero for a couple of years. They could extend him. Or maybe they make a big swing and trade one of those two guys. I don't know. Andrew Wiggins is on a deal where he's got a year and then a player option. Terry Rozier's making $26 million. You would think that they could maybe expiring contract that. Duncan Robinson, they have under contract. There's an early termination portion of his contract. There's some other younger guys. Kalel Ware got some time. Jaime Jaquez got some time. These guys are coming up. Nikola Jovic. So I don't know where they want to build around, and I don't know what they want to trade. But they got some pieces that they could move. They got some picks that they could move. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Kevin Durant has been a name, but I don't know that they have the picks and the pieces for that. But again, we will see. So that's Pat Riley speaking. Doesn't think he doesn't regret it, but does realize that what happened sort of ruined their season. And the fact that they're just not that good of a team probably ruined it too. That's just one man's opinion. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We'll hear from many other voices in sports with our nightly Bulletin Blitz coming up. We will also talk a bit about this Cavs and Pacers series as the playoffs are really, really good, unpredictable, now becoming a little more predictable. And it's not so easy, is it, Indiana, to beat a team when they're at full strength? Yeah, you're not jumping up on the scorers table after this game, Tyrese Haliburton. Not tonight. Not tonight. We'll take a look at that and much more. 888-710-4ISN. Let's get an update with Marco Belletti.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast. The biggest moments in the games.
No, señor! Los Eagles se van con la victoria!
The biggest voices in sports.
Yankees win! The Yankees win!
The heartbreak.
Pass is intercepted at the goal line!
The celebrations.
Kansas City wins the game! 25-22! And the Chiefs' kingdom has started its own history class!
It's the audio of the day. It's the Bulletin Blitz.
It is the Bulletin Blitz. Leading us off tonight, Alex Azar in for Carlos. Hey, Alex, how you doing, buddy?
How are we, Bart?
Good. What do we got in the world of sports today?
So as you know, we have had a pretty big NFL trade. George Pickens went to the Cowboys in exchange for a third round pick and a swap. And Omar Khan had his say on the trade.
The trade sort of happened quickly. We had some people inquire during the draft. Nothing that really made sense. And Cowboys reached out. I don't really remember what day it was, but earlier this week. And, they gave us they proposed something that for us to think about. And, we had conversations internally. I also had some conversations with George's agent, Dave, who I have a good relationship with. And, we discussed where things, I guess, have been with George, where they are, and, where things could go with George. And, this trade makes sense for everyone.
I can see this being a trade that is good for both sides, but also I'm curious why both sides made the trade. Apparently, there were teams laughing at the idea of bringing George Pickens into their locker room when the Steelers were floating around the idea of trading him. So there's an addition by subtraction element, perhaps, in Pittsburgh. But then if you're thinking about if they do get Aaron Rodgers, to have Rodgers and DK Metcalf and Pickens, yeah, there's something there, right? Maybe? Well, now you've taken a weapon away if you go that route. But are you, in fact, building to the future anyway? If it wasn't George Pickens and some of the off-the-field issues that exist, you would think clearly they're looking forward to the future. And that DK Metcalf was still a guy they wanted. They gave up a second-round pick for that. They get a third-round pick back next year, which is future-forward thinking. But it's George Pickens, so you don't know. With the Cowboys, it's not. I mean, that's a third-round pick, but there's no plan to extend him. And if he does ball out, you know, maybe he leaves somewhere else. He can get a compensatory pick, fine. But does this mean you think you were a George Pickens away from the Super Bowl and you needed to have him? It's just, it's curious on both sides. But we'll see. Jerry thinks he's got one under the Steelers' skin with this one, so we'll see.
Do you think the duo of CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens is better than Terry McLaurin and Deebo Samuel?
That's a good question. I'm high on McLaurin, I'm high on Lamb, and I'm kind of down on the other guys.
Right.
So I might not put too much of a gap between either duo.
Yeah, I was just wondering because my roommate's a big Cowboys fan, so. And he thinks it's, I think getting Pickens puts him above Washington.
But he thinks like the team now is above Washington?
No, like the wide receiver core.
Oh, yeah, maybe, but how do we have any guarantee that it's going to work?
Right.
So we'll see.
Tom Brady was on the Impulsive podcast recently, and he talked about Shedeur Sanders dropping to the fifth round and what he told him.
I wasn't a part of any evaluation process. Nobody knows. And I actually texted Shedeur because I know him very well. And I said, dude, like whatever happens, wherever you go, like that's your first day. Day two matters more than the draft. I was 199.
Yeah.
So who could speak on it better than me? Like what that really means. Use it as motivation. You're going to get your chances. Go take advantage of it.
The whole thing is wild. Him going to the fifth round, no one expected that. Some people were getting out in front of it saying he's not a first-round talent. Okay, good for you. You thought he wouldn't get taken in the first round. He didn't. But no one thought day three, much less round three. And then the team he goes to, they already drafted a quarterback. So now you're going to have to split reps. And Dylan Gabriel got some of the reps first. And so Stefanski's got to answer questions like, why'd you pick Dylan Gabriel? And there might not be any reason to it. Like, I don't know, who do I look at? Who do I see first? Who got drafted first? But now everything's going to be like a question. So because there's this elevated thing to it, there's going to be a little more elevated coverage. And that's what teams are trying to avoid. And the team that eventually took him already took a quarterback in the draft, which means the situation, which was going to be a media lightning rod in the first place, is even more so because you already took a quarterback. Like the wrong team took him. I saw a video. Shedeur threw a touchdown today from like, you know, they do their little red zone drill. So look at that. Off to a good start in Cleveland.
I am rooting for Shedeur Sanders. I think he's...
Oh, yeah, me
sort
too.
Of in the, yeah, I think he's just in the shadow of his dad. And I feel like people were scared that his dad was like some heavy luggage that came along with him. But I think Shedeur Sanders, I think he might actually get a couple starts this year. Who knows? I mean, Browns, the depth chart in QB is pretty interesting, should we say. And, yeah, I mean, the Browns is, yeah, I just, it was weird how they drafted Dylan Gabriel and then went with Shedeur. But I'm rooting for him. Up next, we have Abdul Carter. Today was his first day as a Giant on the practice field, and he chose number 51 after a lot of debate, him trying to get Lawrence Taylor's retired number, but this is what he had to say about choosing number 51.
How's 51 feel?
I feel good. I feel like it's going to have to grow on me a little bit, but it's feeling good right now.
How'd you settle on 51?
Pretty much what we had available, so it was a good number.
Is it set or could you change it for the regular season?
It's pretty much set. I'm just happy to be out here playing football. That's what that's all I'm worried about.
I don't like this whole retirement number saga. I'm not sure there's a show on any platform that talks more about retired numbers than me. I talk about them a lot. I think they should be, there should be some protection of them. This whole trend of people getting numbers unretired, I think it's insulting. We've talked about that. But with Carter, like, 51 looks fine on you. Make that your number. I would like to put some more blame on the Giants here. You got to step in at some point and not let that circus have happened. Now, I understand there are much bigger things in the world to, like, talk about and that are actual problems, but this is still a thing that happened, and I think the Giants should have found a way to step in and say, let's not do this thing with Lawrence Taylor. Don't make Phil Simms have to hold a family meeting. These are the numbers available. Pick one. If you don't like it, you still have to pick one. I think the Giants should have stepped in. But then again, they gave Malik Nabers one. That pissed me off. Ending on a high note. Cavs beat the Pacers because they're not hurt. See what happens? We'll talk about it next.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.